My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I do know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. Again, want to encourage you to get signed up at RedReferralNetwork.com. That is the brand new conservative business network being launched by Dinesh D'Souza and Chris Widener, who was just on the program with me. RedReferralNetwork.com, and you can sign up with them. Pre-launch today. They'll be launching in January. In our first hour, Gabe Whitley was with us. He is running for Congress in the 7th District in Indiana, part of the younger generation that is stepping up and fighting for conservative values. So we encourage our younger generation to get engaged and get involved. Speaking of getting engaged and getting involved, how about my regular next guest who's been with me now here for quite a while, long enough for me to grow this beard. Mr. Don Jans is with us today. Welcome, Don. Good to have you.
Great to be here. Always wonderful to be with you. I learned so much.
Oh, stop. Iron sharpens iron. How about that?
I'll go with that. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Iron sharpens iron. By the way, stay tuned, folks. A couple of things coming up. Bottom of this hour, Dr. David Wormser is back with us live from Israel. We'll have an update from him in Tel Aviv. I can tell you from the updates that he's been sending me, it is absolutely they're at war, and it's a major war. And last night, Yemen jumped in. They sent missiles from Yemen into Israel. Yemen is on the other side of Saudi Arabia. So now they are fighting literally on three fronts between Gaza, Lebanon, and Yemen. And reports are that Iran are sending artillery into Syria, headed towards Israel as well. So this is really, really major stuff. As a matter of fact, Iran fired rockets at a U.S. ship. One of the ships that's sitting offshore was attacked last night by Iran, by Iranian missiles. They knocked the missiles down, and the defense of the ship knocked the missiles down. But Iran did fire on an American vessel, and so we will we're gonna have to watch and see what that turns into. Don, I mentioned to you in the green room, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, Biden goes over there and instead of, you know, firmly condemning the attack, instead of identifying the fact that, you know, Islam is not a religion of peace, it is a religion of murder and the destruction of infidels. Their imams are putting these messages out and have been. Mecca, just this past year, the prophecy that was released is that starting on 12/21/23, they are supposed to start a mass cleansing, purging of infidels around the world.
What's an infidel?
An infidel is one who does not believe that the earth sits on an elephant's trunk, surrounded by some kind of other strange mechanism, and believe in the demon Allah.
Anybody who's not Muslim.
Anybody who is not Muslim, that is correct. Anybody who does not buy the falsities that are written by Muhammad in Quran, where he writes about, by the way, in the Hadith, about sitting at a table and eating while watching children be raped and others being beheaded, and that's just supposed to be good old dinner time entertainment.
You know quite a bit about the Muslim religion. You've had quite a bit of contact with, what
experts.
Would you say, scholars of the Muslim religion?
Yes, sir.
Would you call them that?
Yes, sir.
Many of them, I know the one that you know very well, is Arab. And understands the writings of Muhammad very well. And I remember being on radio programs with him, which were fascinating. I wish we could hear him more. I don't ever remember him saying anywhere in any of Muslim teachings that they are to love all brothers, that they are to treat all brothers with respect. And by brothers, I mean all humans. I don't ever recall him ever saying, I've never read anything in the Quran or any of the other writings that emphasizes that we always seek peace first, and we never resort to war or to killing. Have you ever heard anything in the Muslim teachings that says you should love everybody and you should seek peace?
No, I haven't. Now, there's a shift in some of the direction of some of the writing. And there is some writing in there, and I know Christian missionaries who will use this when they're talking with Muslims, where there's statements about Jesus as a prophet, and even one verse that suggests that to be a good Muslim, you need to be a good Christian, and which opens the door then to have a conversation and say, okay, well, here's what a good Christian is. And here's the difference in course, but no, if you are following the Quran and the Hadith and you are adhering to the writings that are taught, then your belief system that you are following suggests that what we have allowed, what certain individuals have allowed, and it really is a taqiyya deception. To say, oh, to put radical in front of it, it's a disservice to what Islam actually says. They are just being good Muslims, and if you talk to any one of them, that's what they would tell you. They would say, "I'm being a good Muslim. This is what you know. This is what my book tells me to do." Now, if you talk to someone who says, "I'm being a good Christian," then being a good Christian has to do with morality. It has to do with loving people. It has to do with encouraging people to do the right thing and make the right choices. That's why we talk so much about the moral equivalence here on the program and the issue of morality and what not to do with children, as an example, because good Christian morals tell us don't pierce the conscience of that innocent child.
So when we are being told by Abbas, when we are being told by Hamas, by Hezbollah, by the mullahs, when we are being told by the Muslims, Islam, whatever, that their goal is to kill all Jews and to eradicate the nation of Israel, that's been extremely consistent.
For 1400 years.
Yeah. It's been the same thing. I've never seen a change in that message.
No.
And they seem to fulfill what they're periodic. I mean, we always get these. And the thing that's so surprising to me is many of us refuse to believe that this is what their goal is. Even though they are very clear about it. I mean, they don't pull any bones about it at all. It's very direct. We aim to kill all Jews and eradicate Israel. And yet we sit over here, other nations sit around and they say, oh, we have to make peace with them. How, like Golda Meir said, how do you make peace with people whose only goal it is to kill you?
Right.
How do you do it? Do you set up a second state and give them another launching pad? Is that what you do? I mean, we deal with this. We live in a world that is up in some cloud. I'm not sure where, but it's certainly not in reality. And then you have a fool who was unelected, who stole an election. Nevertheless, inaugurated, that goes over and refers to this as the other team. This is not a football game.
No, this is life and death.
And it's life and death, folks, it's not just life and death for Israel. It's life and death for all who are not Muslim. Because we are also to be taken over by them. Now, if we bend to their knee and we pay them their jizz, then we don't have to be killed. But we will always be second-class citizens. And what do we do in the Western world? The liberals tell us, oh, don't believe them. They're just kidding. We're going to bring them here, and they're going to assimilate into our culture. Tell me, in what nation in Europe right now that has accepted all of these so-called refugees, have those refugees assimilated? One nation in which they have assimilated, include the United States in your thought pattern. Has there been one?
I don't believe so.
Look, what, do you know what France is doing this very day?
Oh, France. I mean, you look at what happened in France. I mean, this is exactly what we've been warning about with our open border situation here in America. France is under attack. They have people going around, you know, knifing, quote unquote, infidels. I mean, this is just nothing short of horrific.
And they're now, and all of these people are now within their society, and now they say we're going to export all of those radical Islams. What's a radical? You just talked about that.
Right.
I mean, there is no definition of radicals. This is what they are all taught. Have you seen what's going on up in Sweden?
Well, have you seen the threats that are coming across? Laura Loomer apparently intercepted and has some people that are monitoring Hamas chat rooms. And they were talking about an imminent attack in Illinois, potentially in Chicago.
And there's a lot of so-called refugees there, correct?
They're in Chicago. You know, a lot of people have not spoken about, unfortunately. However, it's a truth. You can look it up and find it. But I'm talking about a number of rapes by the Somali refugees on American women.
And now AOC, that intellectual wonder, tells us that America is built on accepting refugees, and therefore we must accept these Palestinian refugees because they'll come over here and all they're looking for is a new life. No, they're looking to do exactly what they have been taught to do from the day they were conceived, that they are to eradicate all infidels. And how they do it is they come into a new society. This also goes back to some history where back in the 1600s, they tried to infiltrate Europe time after time after time, but were constantly stopped at Vienna. You should read some of the history of Vienna and some of the things those people went through to keep this radical or this terrible, terrible society away from us. And today we welcome them. Today we help them come into our societies. And folks, in every society where they've come, not once have they assimilated. Now, that's a problem. What are we going to do about it? And this is where we need strong, strong understanding and strong leadership. All of a sudden, I hate to see the Gazan kids killed. Who likes to see kids killed? Nobody, I hope. Well, I shouldn't say that. Muhammad loved to see kids killed. And apparently he's taught others to do this. But we hear about the terrible, terrible situation in Gaza now. And no longer is it ever mentioned how these radicals from Gaza came over into southern Israel.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt. Oh, hang on, I got to interrupt. I just found this. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about Marxists. We're talking about the destruction of free speech. Letitia James, the Wicked Witch of New York.
Yes.
Has filed a lawsuit against 6 internet content providers including Rumble, demanding that they immediately be taken off the internet. She sued Rumble. Well, what she's demanding is she's demanding that they remove third-party posts and materials that they think incite violence. Now, under their guidelines, so one of my interviews with Dr. Wormser that I did, identifying three individuals in the Biden administration who aided and abetted it, and have direct ties to Iran. One of them lost his security clearance. That particular interview has been taken down. And my entire access to content, okay, there, now it looks like it may be back up. But my access to content was temporarily blocked. I actually sent a, okay, here we go. And let me be clear. Rumble is fighting this, by the way. Rumble has sent them back a letter. That's what you see over here, basically saying, we demand that you withdraw your lawsuit. We are going to the courts to say you don't have a right to suggest this, and to try to put a squeeze on free speech on our platform. So I... I applaud Rumble for their fight for freedom and for justice and for free speech. But you know, these little local DAs like Letitia James and like Fannie Willis, these little local attorney generals or district attorneys seem to think that they are all powerful. And they are absolutely in 100% violation of the United States Constitution. They are arbitrarily saying we are the ones who are going to be the free speech monitors here. Now, I've said I don't think that individuals who are supporting terrorists should be out marching in our streets with chance of death to America. I to me that seems as though it crosses a line. But but the other side says that if you say that, if you say these people are terrorists and that law enforcement should step in, they should investigate, they should potentially put a stop to allowing this kind of behavior on our streets. I mean, we're watching this around the world, Don. When they go out into the street and they start yelling their, you know, two little thing that they say, and I'm not going to say it because I'm not going to give it platform. But when they do that, then they blow themselves up and they blow up everything around them. And you don't have 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. You don't even have a minute to stop it. I mean, it, literally, they go out onto the street. They are strapped. They are loaded with bombs, and they are ready to blow themselves up and your entire city, as insofar as that bomb will blow up.
It's absolute chaos, and everything we are doing. We've abolished our republic. We are now a democracy. We were unanimous when the framers put up the Constitution. They unanimously rejected democracy. Democracy is mob rule. That's their quotes, and we're finding out that to be true. Now, where we a society like ours requires. Absolutely requires a moral people. If we don't have a moral people, then we will go the way of all other societies that become dictatorship. When we are told by an unelected president a person who is the head of a crime family, that our liberties are not absolute. And you have courts that will enforce that misconcept. That is a totally incorrect interpretation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And you have courts that will uphold that incorrect interpretation. And you have a people who will not fight against it, but will rationalize and say, well, yeah, people should be really nice. They shouldn't be able to talk badly about other people. Folks, free speech is exactly that, saying things that are not unpopular or that are not popular at the time.
Sure.
We have to defend free speech. And when we defend free speech, we not only defend our own free speech, we defend the free speech of everybody else. It is a complicated, difficult concept, but it's the only way we will survive.
The question that I had, and we're going to run out of time here, maybe we'll talk about it next time, but the question that comes up is, and I agree, we need to defend free speech. Are these groups who have declared themselves their organization has said, we are enemies of the United States of America, and we want to destroy the nation of America. That is our stated goal. That is the stated goal of Hamas. That is the stated goal of Islam. That is the stated goal of Iran. That is the stated goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. So both the Sunnis and the Shiites have the same goal, and that is the destruction of the great American devil. Do they then have a right to stand on the streets of America and make those declarations about destroying our country, knowing that they may well be hiding within their crowd individuals that are armed, that are either going to kill innocent American citizens by weaponry, by knives? I mean, look what happened in France. You mentioned it.
Oh yes.
Or literally blow everybody up and level city blocks.
As a United States, if they are a United States citizen,
then they've sworn a loyalty to our country. So if they're violating that loyalty, then that's treason. That's traitor.
Okay. Then that's one issue. And yes, then you can, as a traitor, I think you have to prosecute them. But they still have the right to say it. It's not them saying it, but it's the actions they take after. Only as a U.S. citizen, where we have messed up so badly, is that we have allowed these people who have told us right up front they hate us, and we've allowed them to come in and become a part of our society. That's what France did. That's what all of these Western nations have done now in the name of compassion.
We're out of time here. But teaching the children in school, indoctrinating them to hate their own country and turn on their own parents. You can't survive that. You cannot survive that. Folks, these are points for us to not just ponder, but as parents, get involved. We need to put a stop to it. We need to replace those individuals that are in those positions so that they are not having that kind of an influence on our society. That's what our election process is about. That's what our representative process is about. That's what our form of government allows one to do. And yes, you can stand and you can protest against the individuals that are there, and you can support candidates to replace them. And that's all part of the process. But calling for killing and death and blowing things up and so on, that's fire in a theater, and I don't believe you have the constitutional right to make those kinds of decisions and declarations.
Let me say one more thing, and you might replace that radical school board member with the person you see in the mirror every morning. That person might just be the best candidate.
Hear.
Take a hard look, and if you are willing to stand up for freedom, then you must be willing to run for office.
Hear. All right, I got to take off. Dave Wormser is waiting for me. I'll be back. Well, Don and I'll be back next week. Thank you, Don. I'll be back right after this break with Dr. David Wormser. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Let me find myself here. Here I am. Oh, my goodness. All right. So I mentioned to you, just want to bring folks up to date, too, very quickly. I had a friend that was inquiring. And by the way, Dr. David Wormser, welcome. Not by the way, but welcome, Dr. Wormser. It's always good to have you with me.
Thank you.
So I had a friend that was inquiring about the names, which is Robert Malley, Ariana Tabatabai, and Mahir Bitar, M-A-H-I-R, Mahir Bitar. All part of the Biden administration upper echelon in the intelligence side of operations, DOJ and or not DOJ, DOD and DNC, and not yeah. not no NSC, National Security Council. At any rate, and their direct connections, which have been identified in Semaphore News, has done an expose specifically showing their direct connection to Tehran in Iran, and yet they were guiding, you know, intelligence and resources and so on. Very powerful position within the Biden administration, and yet direct links to a government that has said death to America. That being the point, we identified that. My friend was asking, hey, can you send me more information on it? So I sent him the link to our interview. And when I did, he responded back and he said, hey, it says no service or service unavailable. And I was like, what? And so I clicked on it and it said the same thing. And then I went and checked a down report, the down detector, and the down detector showed that Rumble had was down this morning for a period of time, and they sent a tweet out from Rumble saying that the attorney general, or not the attorney general, what is she called? She's the attorney general. Yeah, she is. She's the attorney general for the state of New York.
Yeah,
Letitia James filed a letter of investigation demanding social media platforms and policies actions related to removing third-party posted material that may incite violence. Well, that is incredibly subjective, but it goes to, you know, this whole thing with this Fannie Willis out of Georgia, right? Who said, you know, and if my understanding is that Sidney Powell won a major victory on that, by the way, but they went after her for filing a lawsuit in a totally in an entirely different state, and the yeah. and this district attorney in Georgia said, oh, we're gonna criminally charge you for filing a lawsuit in another state as if we're some kind of demigod.
Yeah. Well, if they want to shut down things for incitement, why don't they start with BBC and the New York Times and MSNBC? Because, you know, where I am, you know, you had that hospital incident where a missile hit a hospital and supposedly killed 500 people. And the press, I get it, the press ran without checking it out. And they said it was an Israeli missile and 500 people were killed, even though that's the story that Hamas, which is just beheaded babies, you take with a grain of salt.
Oh, wait a minute. But they didn't behead babies. Yeah, but they didn't behead babies. Come on, we've retracted that story because that could not be true.
Yeah. Right, although they then subsequently were forced to
acknowledge the realities of it because some pictures were released that said it. Exactly, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Exactly. I'm chiming in with you. So, go ahead, yeah.
So I get it that they didn't do the due diligence. They ran the conclusions. That's bad journalism, but I get it. That's not evil. But what happened was after the Israelis went through after 12, 24 hours and built this incredibly detailed case, laid out by all sorts of intelligence. And then President Biden himself gets out there and he says, our own intelligence is saying that it was a Hamas missile that stalled and fell back down on its on the hospital.
And it was the parking lot, by the way. And the pictures now show that it was, yeah, it wasn't even the hospital. The parking lot of the hospital got hit. The hospital itself never got touched.
That's right. And on top of it all, the EU did its own investigation, European Union, and realized it's only 10 to 50 people that might have been killed. Not 500.
Which is horrific, okay. But it's all on Hamas.
Which is horrific and it's innocent, but it's Hamas missile.
Yep.
But the point is, there are papers, the New York Times, the Washington Post, BBC, that are still calling it an Israeli strike. fine, up until the president, until all this stuff came out, it's bad journalism, but okay, you did it. It's not evil. But afterwards, that's incitement. And what's worse is you have the government next door to here in Jordan almost being toppled by street demonstrations because of this. You've got people in the West Bank killing Jews because they saw this. You've got around Europe and America people taking to the streets, and sooner or later somebody's going to get killed.
Somebody did in France. In France.
In France. They did kill people in France. That's right. It was a Jewish high school teacher was killed. So this incitement by these news organizations have killed people and will kill people in a big way. And yet Letitia James doesn't see fit to address that.
No.
Instead, she goes to Rumble and shuts people like you down. Why? It's political. It's political censorship attempts.
It is an assault on free speech, but it's an assault on truth. Folks, listen, I'm not going to say that I get it 1,000% right. I can't go back over 10 or 11 years and say that every single thing that we have put out has been 1,000%. Oh, my hand got raised. I got to put my hand down. Zoom's AI now, if I put my hand up like this for any length of time, it will like automatically switch the screens. So I become David Wormser and you become Pastor Greg. Anyway, that's crazy. Anyway, but here's my point. You know, I can't go back 11 years and be like, okay, every single thing that has ever gone forward on this program turned out to be 100%, but I'm trying to be as careful as I possibly can to make certain that the things that we put out are verified, re-verified, checked, double checked. I check sources. I check motivation of those sources. I look to see. Sometimes I don't put things out because I'm like, nah, their conservative view is a little bit tilted to me and it might be off or the other way. I'm very careful about what we say. When we talked about the baby situation, you know, I asked you, I said, how do we confirm that? You said, look, I talked to a soldier who went to the village. He was one of the first people in the village and he saw it. And yes, there's not a bunch of pictures that are going to be out because the Jewish people don't take pictures of dead bodies. That is against their religious belief system. You just don't do it. True. They are doing it. But really what they're doing is they're allowing other journalists to come in and take those pictures, and then they're letting that be released because the Jewish people say, no, it's disrespectful. You don't take pictures of dead bodies. So you let someone else come in and take those pictures and then release them. But the facts are still the facts.
That's right. And there are eyewitnesses. But more than that, Hamas didn't hide it. They were very proud of their atrocities.
They took pictures of it. Absolutely. They took pictures of it.
You can say, oh, the Israelis are just propaganda. And, oh, the journalists that the Israelis brought saw a staged situation. It might have been Palestinian babies that were beheaded by the Israelis. Or what? I don't know what you can invent. But the bottom line is you don't need to invent anything. The Palestinian terrorists who invaded put on the internet themselves with great pride and exhilaration what they had done.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, we see those, you see sometimes these gangs in the United States, those kids who go and burglarize a house and they videotape themselves burglarizing the house.
Beating that woman. They videoed themselves beating that one woman that was on her normal jog. They videoed themselves beating up young men on the ground. There's a group of thugs, and yes, they're black thugs that were kicking a white kid on the ground, and every time that he would try to crawl or get to his knees to try to get away, they jump him again and kick him some more. And it's horrific to me that somebody would video such a thing and not get any. You do see a man get in and try to pull these kids off, but they weren't able to. I want to play something that you sent me, folks. I'm going to tell you right now that some of what's going to be described here is going to be very disturbing. And quite frankly, if it doesn't disturb you, then something's wrong. But this is a report. 6 to 7 year old children were tortured in front of their parents, and then eyes taken out, fingers cut off before being killed. Here's the description as from eyewitnesses.
We went in the first house we saw was a couple, father and mother, sitting there on the knees on the floor. They were on the knees, now they were head down, hands tied to the back. On the other side of the dining room was 7-year-old child, boy and a girl, I would say about 6 years old, sitting just against the parents, hands tied to the back, same position. The bodies were tortured. While now, start using that imagination. Who was tortured before? Who saw if this was if this was on purpose? If this was the children looking at the parents being tortured, the parents seen, and when I say tortured, I would say missing body pieces. An eye, just taken out an eye, one eye, fingers being and all this happened, and by the end, they all had a bullet, and still not finished. In the middle, there's a table. Those tables were sitting and eating the Saturday meal that was prepared for this family. They just took it and they ate this meal while torturing these children.
And let's, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I said this earlier in the program. Oh, it didn't hit. Okay. I'm going to say this earlier, or I said this early in the program. There is within, I believe it's the Hadith, is the autobiography of Muhammad. In the Hadith, it describes Muhammad sitting at a table, eating, while individuals are being tortured, just like what this man described in front of him during his meal. And the commentary is essentially that is good, and it is normal dinner time entertainment that those that you hate would have body parts plucked out and parts of their body cut off and blood spilled while you're eating your meal. So when you talk about it and say, "Oh, these are just radical," no, the leader of their supposed cult belief system, writes about in their autobiography and celebrates doing the exact same things.
Yeah, you know, and it's just. You know, I have two big problems here. One is, this isn't the first time this has happened. This is the first time it's happened at this magnitude here in the Holy Land with the Muslims against the Jews. It happened in the riots of 29. They did this to the Jewish community of Hebron, which is why there weren't that many Jews left at the end of it. But they killed 180. And they did the same sorts of things, horrible things. They did the same thing to in 48 in numerous places, whether it was the medical supply, the nurses that were going up to Mount Scopus to bring wounded back. They were ambushed and horrible things were done. It happens again and again. The PLO in the 80s and 90s did these things. The Munich Olympic massacre by the PLO. Yeah. They tortured the athletes before they killed them. And so on and so forth. But this is a greater magnitude than that. I mean, you know, the death toll now appears to be somewhere around 1,600-1,700 civilians and about 200-300 soldiers from that. But so the magnitude is different, but the cruelty is not. And the second thing that really does bother me, I saw President Biden speak when he came, and he said some things that the Israelis didn't want to hear, and it was good. But he also said that, let's be real, the Palestinians and the Gazans are against Hamas, and Hamas is this one organization. I'm not going to judge the people in Gaza because they're under Hamas and maybe they're terrorized into shutting up. But I'm looking at Paris and I'm looking at London. I'm looking at New York and L.A. Where are the Palestinians? Where are the Muslims demonstrating and saying this is not us?
That's right. They're not.
We don't agree.
Yep.
These are free communities.
Yep.
When you had Jewish terrorists in 1996, I think it was, five or six, Baruch Goldstein went into the mosque in Hebron, the Cave of the Patriarchs, which is a shared mosque. So it's where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and so are buried in a cave underneath. He unfortunately came in with a machine gun and he killed 29 people, civilians. Everybody in the Jewish community from the far right to the far left in Israel said, not me. And they were
condemned
happy
it.
And they praised, yeah. They praised the fact that he had been killed because he was not of them. Across Europe and America, Jewish communities raised money for the victims' families, the Arab Muslim victims' families. Israeli politicians came to Hebron and met with the victims' families and said they tried to do right. I mean, there's no way you can do right to an innocent person being killed.
Right.
But you do a lot to say this really is an animal. Well, I don't want to insult animals, but this is the depraved.
This is wrong, and this is not. Yeah, this is not what we believe. And you take a hard stand.
Right. And we do whatever we can to stand with you against him. Where are those people?
Well, that's like those, you know, who claim Christianity, right? And then take and do, you know, racist acts. We stand against that. As Christians, we all stand against those things. Go ahead.
I saw the Saudi Arabian government criticized Hamas. The UAE's criticized Hamas for doing this. But where are all these demonstrators in our universities, in Harvard and so forth?
Yep.
Are they? I mean, and Palestinians, where are they? If it's not them, you'd think that they would be the first to show that this is not them. So until I see that, I can't say this is a small minority, et cetera. So
and David, to be clear to our audience too, those that wanted to leave have been given and afforded the opportunity to leave. There are, you know, I-24 News has shown a number of refugee operations on the border there in Israel where they are providing them food and providing them shelter and providing them a place to be if they're fleeing because they're saying, no, we don't agree and we're not a part of that. And there are a number of them that have done that. But those that have stayed in these pictures that are being shown, and, you know, some of these are staged pictures. Some of these are pictures where bombs, again, like the hospital situation went off, where Hamas's own bombs went off. Others are where Israel has bombed. But those that are there are teaching their children to hate Jews, to hate Christians. Yeah. They're putting weapons in their children's hands and saying, now, listen, it's sad, it's terrible, it's horrific. But that is the reality of their belief system, and that's what they're doing. We've only got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get this in. I have a map of Israel up right now. As it sits right now, there's assaults coming from Gaza. From Gaza, that little green strip that you see on the screen there, they're firing into Tel Aviv, which you can see, which is up towards the middle, right on the coast. They're firing into Jerusalem. They're also firing all the way up to where you see Nazareth and that particular area from Gaza. But now, in addition to that, as I understand it, there's also missiles coming in from Lebanon now into Israel. And just last night, and it's not really on the map, but where you see Saudi Arabia at the bottom of this map, you'll see that there's an arrow pointing down through Saudi Arabia. That arrow is actually pointing towards where Yemen is. And Yemen is on the other side of Saudi Arabia, on the other side of that pool of water there. And last night, they were firing into Israel as well. So three fronts, correct?
Correct. And there's danger of yet one. Well, the Golan Heights, too, not just from Lebanon. So Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and Gaza. But there's a lot of Shiite militias, Shabab militias, Afghani militias that are now passing through Iraq, now are already in Syria. And they're heading to the border to fight Israel. So in some ways, in some sick way, Israel's going to become the international terrorist bug zapper on a scale unimaginable. But they're also, they say they're going to take up positions in the northern part of Jordan. And Jordan is at peace with Israel, but it's not a very strong country.
Right.
So it may not be able to stop them from doing that. So Israel's now had to move a lot of tanks, call up yet more reserves, and move tanks also now to the Jordanian border, at least the northern half of the Jordanian border.
Now, the other piece is we have also a naval carrier. Now is it in the Mediterranean Sea? Where exactly is that carrier? Is it in the Mediterranean Sea?
Yes. We've put two carriers in the Mediterranean. We've put another battle group down in the Red Sea.
Okay.
Below. It's by Saudi Arabia.
And the one in the Mediterranean Sea, one of those ships was attacked last night by Iranian missiles. Is that correct?
Yeah. At first, we're not quite sure. It's possible they're the ones who shot down the Yemenite missiles, the Yemeni missiles.
Okay.
So it's they thought the ship was being attacked. The missiles are heading generally in their direction. You know, in this situation, you don't take chances. But as Absolutely. They analyzed the trajectory over the last 12 hours, those Yemeni missiles apparently were headed for Jerusalem and Tel Aviv or one or the other or both.
Okay.
So basically, the United States did shoot down those missiles. But they were not far from the ships either. So, that said, I think the ships are mostly there to evacuate Americans. You see, one of the reasons why the Israelis delayed the start of their ground operation, the Israeli war hasn't even really started.
Right.
Is partly because the United States asked Israel to stall. And the reason for it is, and we have a lot of troops in the region. We have troops in Iraq. We have troops in Syria still. We have troops in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and UAE and so forth. And they're vulnerable. They're highly vulnerable. And the Iranians have threatened to hit them if Israel does anything.
Right.
So we needed time to reinforce our troops, get them into protective structures, make sure that our everything's in place so that we can weather the blowback. So in many ways, those forces are there also to support American troops. And then lastly, there's tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens in Egypt, in Lebanon, in Jordan, all around the region. And the best structure to remove huge amounts of civilians in an emergency and evacuate U.S. citizens is a carrier group. So I think they're there for a lot of different reasons. But you do get a feeling for how unbelievably tense and dangerous this area is right now.
Well, and as we're running out, we're just about out of time here on TECN TV. We'll take a couple of minutes over and onto our social media platforms. You can stay with us, Getter, and on Cloud Hub at Pastor Greg CGR. You can also follow us over on our Facebook Chosen Generation Radio page. On Facebook, Chosen Generation Radio Show on Facebook or my personal page, which is facebook.com/doseghostman. DoseGhostman stands for a dose of the Holy Ghost. And in 30 minutes, we will be going live there in India for our outreach as well. But we're going to stay with things for just a minute because I've got a couple more questions I want to make sure we get answered with David. We do have to sign off on TECN TV, so we're going to let Sandra and Texas Fully Loaded take over. And we will be back, but we will be live. We will continue live on our social media platform. So stay with us, and the recording will continue as well. Okay, so so we're looking right now. We've got again, and I'm gonna let me bring that that map back up. So we are Gaza, which is down here. That's the where the largest percentage of the war has been to date. Then then from there we slide up, and the concern, of course, was Lebanon and that particular area. Now we're talking about the Golan Heights, and of course we've had uptick and issues within the West Bank as well, which is surrounds but that's less missile and more ground fire concern. Am I right about that?
Correct. There was a pitched battle in Tulkarm where an Israeli military vehicle was hit, and that triggered a big firefight. One Israeli soldier was killed. 10 were wounded. One still in critical condition. And I believe there were about 10 to 20 Palestinian fighters that were killed there. So there's fighting going on everywhere. We're not even hearing about half the stuff. But I think the death toll in the West Bank between Jews and Arabs is somewhere around 30, 35 also. And then on the northern border, we're talking about somewhere around 5-6 Israelis. And I think Hezbollah admits to 11 or 12 Hezbollahi fighters. It's violent everywhere right now. And then there's constant attempts at terrorism. Constant shooting attempts, running over attempts of soldiers, constant further attempts to cross the border on the Golan or Lebanon to commit another sort of massacre like we saw a week ago. So it's under full total assault. And then, of course, we had the missiles from Yemen, and we have all these terrorists coming down the pike, arriving in the next 12 hours or so on the Golan Heights in northern Jordan and in Lebanon. Israel is in a very violent situation. And as I said, it's also sort of becoming this big bug zapper for terrorists from the whole region.
And you know, the American response is an important part or an important piece of that. For Joe Biden to suggest that he can hand somebody in Gaza $100 million and it's not going to end up in the hands of Hamas. Hamas is the official government of Gaza. Who in the world would you give $100 million to in Gaza that's not connected to Hamas? I don't even see how it's possible.
There's nothing you can do to give anything to the Palestinians that will not be purloined and used for terrorism. For example, 2 years ago, there was a water issue because essentially all the pipes and everything didn't work and whatever. And we didn't quite know why, but the United States gave it, I believe it was $200 million to renovate the water system in Gaza. And lo and behold, things got worse. And what happened? Literally, the United States aid groups put the pipes in the ground. Hamas went back and dug them all up. They dug up all the pipes and they sliced them to pieces to make fuselages for the missiles. So all that, the pipes that were buried in the ground and water flowed through them were still used for. There's no way you can isolate the abuse of charity and aid for terrorist purposes at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, and I'll get some exploding heads by the left, but it's, you know, it's like Planned Parenthood getting $400 million from our government. And then those who have approved that funding in Congress, including rhinos, suggesting that, well, we're not funding abortion. We're just funding Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood's primary operation is abortion, irrespective. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care what they try to pretend. I don't care what they say. We have too many individuals that have turned evidence, whistleblowers that have come out of their clinics that say our goal is to push abortion. That's what we do. Everything else is a front. Mammograms, and by the way, they're mammogram referrals, by the way. There aren't any Planned Parenthood facilities that are capable of actually doing mammograms. They just refer them. They give them a referral to a doctor to have the examination done. That's it. Period. End of story. So, you know, and the pictures, the ultrasounds that they take of the baby are not shown to the mother. They're shown to the doctor, so the doctor knows where to take the forceps and rip that baby apart.
Wow. And I guess if you showed them to the mother could get second thoughts, which is not their purpose.
But they don't have a goal for that. And the people who have proven that they're selling baby body parts, David Dalyden, he's the one who's being prosecuted, in spite of the fact that somehow, for some reason, the government is shielding Planned Parenthood from being prosecuted for selling baby body parts, while on the other hand claiming that it's not a baby that they're killing.
But it gets back to the same thing you said at the beginning with Maher Bitar and these people who work for Iran. You also have people working for Planned Parenthood that are part of the U.S. government. You have people who are working for Randy Weingartner, is that her name, and for the NEA, who's the line between the U.S. government and partisan and organizations have no right to be having a privileged position inside the U.S. government, and is in this administration, all lines of propriety have been crossed and legality, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, and this, and going back to this thing with Letitia James that we talked about at the outset, you know, where she's going after Rumble and other platforms, claiming that they're inciting violence. There is a law called Title 18 USC Section 242, and it is the deprivation of rights under color of law. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, free speech, freedom of religion, freedom to redress the government, freedom to peacefully gather together, all of those are constitutionally guaranteed rights, and anyone who willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to those rights and privileges and immunities shall be fined under this title or imprisoned, not more than 1 year or both, if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and if death results from the acts committed in violation of the section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap. And let me be clear. If someone comes and tries to arrest you, quote unquote, and they are depriving you of your constitutional rights and acting under this color of law, that arrest is kidnapping. It's not an arrest. It's kidnapping. And if they kidnap you, then the sentence for that is either life in prison or death. That's the legal sentence once they are convicted. But there needs to be a fearless attorney general and a fearless prosecutor that starts prosecuting these individuals under this deprivation of rights under color of law.
Wow.
And the first time, and you know, there has been death as a result of this. Look, January 6 individuals have died. Suicide. The families of those individuals need to find a fearless prosecutor to prosecute Mayorkas and the Department of Justice and those that have perpetrated these violations of the Constitution and crimes under J6. And the first time that one of those individuals, the first time somebody in Mayorkas's Department of Justice is convicted, I'm not talking about citizen uprising. I'm talking about convicted for deprivation of rights under the color of law and then injected and their life ended. The first time that happens, that's going to put a stop to all this lawless prosecution and violation and deprivation of the constitutional rights of the people of the United States of America.
Absolutely.
And what we're talking about relative to this behavior and the lawless behavior of the supposed government, the tyrants like Biden, what he has done, when you're funding terrorists, when you are supporting and giving intel that causes the death, you know, the 1,800 innocent citizens in Israel have died. There's strong reason to believe that some of these individuals working in the State Department and in the Department of Defense and in intelligence in the United States bear some responsibility for releasing information.
And certainly they sympathized. Certainly they interpreted information that would blind the president, blind Israelis who were listening to the United States, cross the Israelis who might have had different information. It's had its damage. By the way, you know, another one on that list is the head of the person who vets everybody that immigrates legally and illegally, but she's the one who determines, in as much as they're going to vet anybody who's coming in across illegally, but she vets the people who are coming in legally. She's the chief appointee on top of the entire structure. She was a member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization immediately before she took over the job here in the U.S. government.
Wow.
So how is the head of the PLO, terrorist organization? Their status is still as a terrorist organization. They're waived, the sanctions, and we deal with them as under waivers. But so you have a terrorist organization employee become the head of vetting everybody who gets in the United States.
It's really it's a mess. It's truly a mess. All right, final moments here, because I've got to get ready for the service in India. We're waiting right now. Essentially, we're waiting for Israel to pull the trigger on their offensive. Do you believe that there's any fractioning happening within the Israeli leadership on this position, or is it just purely a matter of respecting the wishes of the United States to try to make sure that they have their citizenry protected?
There is fractioning, but it's not whether to do an invasion or not. It's whether you do Gaza, or you do Gaza first and Lebanon second, or Lebanon Hezbollah first and Gaza second, or Iran Hezbollah and Gaza, in what order. So there's strategic debates, honest strategic debates, right, over what to do first. But I think that the Israeli government seems to have come up with the operational decision. And so now we're just waiting for the trigger to be pulled. And we don't know where. It could be north first and then south.
Sure.
It could be south first and then north. It could be Iran, north, south. Nobody knows. And that's intentional.
Of course.
To leave everybody guessing.
Right.
But it's coming. It's coming very soon.
And
you feel it.
And really one of the biggest reasons, again, as you said, for the delay has been the United States getting itself into a position where they can defend their citizens and their soldiers once this all goes down. And I have to tell you, I was just absolutely furious with Joe Biden and exposing the faces of the SEAL team members. Again, you know, this is the same, you know, outfit, Biden-Obama, that gave up the location for SEAL Team 6 that cost them all of their lives. And now here we go again with him, you know, oh, we made a mistake. Man, no, you didn't. And you know what you did. And may God as a witness, I just prayed the fire of God come down and take care of them. Just fix them.
There's some things you don't make mistakes about.
You do not. You do not. That is absolutely, there's no excuse. There is literally 100%.
People can get killed. Again, people can get killed.
Well, their families. I mean, look at their families become exposed. And if you think these terrorists won't go after their families, and now you've got an operator out in the field that has to be concerned about the safety and security at home, that messes with your head. That is an unsafe situation for an operator to be in. And it is absolutely despicable, despicable. And I really do, Father, I just pray God for swift judgment at your throne over these individuals for having done this and exposed and put these people in this horrifically dangerous situation. It is absolutely unjust and unrighteous and just plain, it's evil. It's an evil act.
Amen. Absolutely. Look, everybody should go and watch Patriot Games tomorrow night, Saturday night movie. It's real. To come after you. These guys come after you.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
You know,
well, watch.
May God protect these guys.
Watch that Clancy movie about, you know, about those, you know, about the soldier who, you know, who, you know, they're all wiped out and they killed his pregnant wife. And then, you know, he investigated and gave you this is a real life scenario.
Yeah. I really feel for these guys. They're heroes,
and we pray for their protection and protection over their family, supernatural protection over them and over their families and for the job that they have to do, and continued protection of Israel and wisdom and guidance for the leadership of Israel. And again, that the Father, that your terror would fall upon the leadership in America and that they would go to their knees and repent and get their lives right before you. And we just pray for all of that to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for it. Amen. David, thank you so much for being with me again today. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you.
And and please continue to keep me posted, and we'll break in over the weekend on any developing issues that happen.
Anytime.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
We're going to sign off and take our break. I'll be back with our India service in about 10 minutes.